Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, another wiener causing trouble for Hillary Clinton, and this time doesn't belong to her husband. My goodness, Anthony Weiner might just bring down Hillary Clinton. Welcome, it's Eric Erickson here. News 95.5 AM 750 WSB, the phone number 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. My goodness, what news of the day. Events can change things. Hillary Clinton all of a sudden running ads in Wisconsin, a state they presumed was safe. Suddenly today, ads are going up for Hillary Clinton in Wisconsin on the heels of this email situation. Now, I got to tell you, the people today who are blasting Comey were the liberals defending him months ago when he gave Hillary Clinton a pass. Suddenly today, he's a partisan hack. He's in the tank for the Republicans. I got to read you an email. This is perfect. How freaked out are the Clintons? Here is a statement from their communications director. A friend of mine emailed this to me. These are the talking points they want people to peddle today. Please note that the FBI is not, and not as all caps and in bold letters, the FBI is not reopening its investigation. That is false and should not be reported in that manner. As John Podesta's statement says, already we have seen characterizations that the FBI is reopening an investigation, but Comey's words do not match that characterization. Director Comey's letter refers to emails that have come to light in an unrelated case, but we have no idea what those emails are, and the director himself notes that they may not be even be significant. Director Comey's letter, in capital letters, does not say that the investigation is being reopened. So you got that? The Hillary Clinton campaign wants you to know that the FBI has not, absolutely has not, in all caps, has not reopened the investigation into Hillary Clinton's emails. In other words, the FBI has reopened the investigation into Hillary Clinton's emails. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, the initial reports out of the New York Times and the Washington Post, even Fox and CNN, were that they hadn't reopened it because they hadn't fully closed it. But if you actually go back to James Comey's words several months ago, he said they were closing the matter. So now this is the rich part of where do the emails come from? I actually called this before it was reported to the media. It was pretty obvious to me. Here's what the FBI originally said. They said they had uncovered emails from an unrelated matter under investigation, not related to WikiLeaks, and the emails were discovered on a device. Well, at that point, it was actually pretty obvious because there is only one known FBI investigation open relating to cell phones that is anywhere near the sphere of the Clinton orbit that we know of, and that was Anthony Weiner. So for those of you who don't know, Anthony Weiner, under investigation for sending explicit texts to an underage girl, and he is married to Huma Abedin, Hillary Clinton's right-hand gal. Oh, but it gets better. So Weiner's investigation has gone beyond where it was originally. The FBI was just investigating, but a grand jury has now been impaneled to investigate Anthony Weiner's behavior and conduct. Now it gets better. So when the story broke, liberal members of the media rushed out and said, It's only three emails. And they may not, again, let me read you the statement from the Clinton people that they're peddling. Director Comey's letter refers to emails that have come to light in an unrelated case, but we have no idea what those emails are. And the director himself notes they may not even be significant. He doesn't know. And so the left would say it's only three and they don't even know if they're significant. Well, it turns out it's not three, it's thousands. The only thing we know, and let's be clear on this one, because what we do know based on FBI sources to Fox and to the New York Times and to CNN is that none of the emails are emails written by Hillary Clinton. They're emails written by someone else. Huma. I mean, it's the only thing that makes sense. And why does Anthony Weiner have emails that could be classified? No, we don't know. There is some speculation here. We don't know. But Anthony Weiner, apparently, because they confiscated documents, they confiscated devices, not just Weiner's, but Huma's as well. And the reporting seems to suggest that Anthony Weiner had access to some of this stuff, even though he was no longer a congressman. And even if he was a congressman, I don't think he was on the Intelligence Committee. Paul Ryan today, by the way, is saying Hillary Clinton needs to have her classified briefings yanked until we know more. I think he's probably right. Anthony Weiner could take down Hillary Clinton. Wow. There are so many euphemisms in that sentence that we just have to avoid altogether. The jokes write themselves. And the left, of course, they're out there today, the feminists. How dare you make jokes about his last name and Hillary Clinton? So Huma's going to jail, isn't she? I mean, listen, the fact that they're pushing out, the friends in the media are pushing out that Hillary Clinton, she said these emails aren't hers. Poor Hillary. Poor Hillary. It's just she's surrounded by incompetent people. But she's so loyal to them. And Huma's been through so much. Her husband sending nudie pictures on Twitter. Texting explicitly with an underage girl. Poor Huma. No! Hillary Clinton has picked these people to surround herself with. Huma's been like the other daughter. She surrounded herself with these people. Don't feel sorry for poor Huma. We know from the WikiLeaks investigations that Huma was out there pretending to be Hillary Clinton for all intents and purposes, telling people, you know, Hillary Clinton, she doesn't remember things well. She doesn't understand things well. Huma was her protector in chief, and Hillary Clinton allowed it to happen. This is about Hillary Clinton's judgment, if nothing else. But I think it goes beyond judgment. Now, the other big question we need to ask ourselves, and I got a phone call from a friend who has his own theory. I'll tell you what his theory is. But the other thing is why? 12 days before the election. Why is this news coming out now? I have a theory. Why would the Clintons be ambushed with this information 12 days before an election? First of all, you do need to understand that there's law at play for James Comey, the FBI director. If a member of the executive branch testifies before Congress and then becomes aware that that information changes such that his testimony would have been different had he known it at the time, he has to send a letter to Congress telling Congress the situation has changed. So, the situation's changed with the discovery of the Anthony Weiner emails, the Huma emails, I'm sure. But that doesn't answer the question why. Now, a buddy of mine, my buddy Ed, called me earlier, left a long voicemail, and he said his theory is this, that if you look at the polls, the polling is beginning to contract. And that means the Trump message is resonating at the end. He's recovered now. There haven't been any more Trump attacks. He's starting to gain a little momentum. So they put this out now knowing that a lot of people will just be poor, pitiful Hillary. That Anthony Weiner cad, he's just out to get her and build somebody. I disagree with that. I think he's on to something, though. I do think the time is true. Everything that this administration does is political. Everything this administration does is political. It reminds me, when I was on city council in Macon, Georgia, we had a member of the county or the city council who politicized the toilet paper. Because we could have gotten the toilet paper from someone else for cheaper, but that person wasn't black, and this person thought if we went with the white guy selling the one-ply toilet paper as opposed to the black guy selling the one-ply toilet paper, we're racist. Turned the whole thing into a political issue. That's what this administration does. Everything is political. Bathrooms are political with this administration. You cannot tell me that James Comey's timing today was unrelated to anything other than maybe he's taken himself off the grid, got himself a great bulletproof vest, and has figured out how to hide from the Clinton machine without going all Fort Mercy Park on him. There is a reason it came out 12 days before the election. It is because, and it could be a huge miscalculation given how close the polling is. It could be they think she's already won because of the early votes and whatnot. And so they're going to go on and get it out now so no one can say that they covered it up, so that no one can say that they hid it. The truth of the matter is that the information's going to come out at some point. And the reason I know it's going to come out is because it's related to a grand jury investigation of Anthony Weiner, and he's probably going to get his butt indicted. And so when that happens, this is going to come out. So can you imagine if it came out after the election? There would be hell to pay. And I don't mean Trump's hair. So they got to get it out now. But they waited. They waited until 12 days before the election. More than, what is it now? Hang on a second. Hang on. Okay, more than 7.7 million votes have been cast already. Votes have been cast in all the major swing states already. So they waited for early voting to get this. Everything with this administration is political. Don't tell me he was under obligation to do this and that's the only reason why. Heck no. I mean, look how they coordinated with the Justice Department on the original investigation. And I have no doubt, and you can be darn sure, at some point in the next week, they're going to come out and poo-poo all this stuff and say, oh, they were unrelated, they weren't classified, but there's a problem. Welcome back. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number 404-872-0750 1-800-WSB-TALK. I got to read you a couple of things I've just retweeted. Britt Hume notices Senator Dianne Feinstein, Democrat of California, on the Comey letter today says she's appalled at the timing of the release, but on June 5th said she was especially grateful to Comey for thorough objective review. Yes. And then David Graham from The Atlantic. Anthony Weiner's continued existence seems like proof that the Clintons don't actually go around killing people who pose a risk to them. But the last one, I don't know who this person is, Sam. This is perfect. Everyone thought the Anthony Weiner subplot was irrelevant, but the writers found a clever way to tie it to the main story, season finale. Yes. Oh, boy. Okay, so, you know, there's a spousal privilege issue here, too. And for those of you who aren't lawyers, spouses can't be made to testify against each other. No, that doesn't mean Hillary and Huma can't testify against each other. No, they can. They're not actually married. Huma and Weiner can't be. Huma and Anthony, I guess I should say. Huma and Anthony can't be made to testify against each other. But we now got thousands of emails. Now, here's the other thing, is that Huma and Hillary both said they had turned over all the emails. And now we've got thousands of emails. And one of the things the FBI is doing, according to the late reports that are just breaking, is they're actually going through to see if these are duplicate emails or not. And there's some indication that they're not. They may be different emails. I tell you, this is just... Who saw this coming? So you know what's going to happen. This is obviously what's going to happen. Is that by Monday, the Clinton campaign is going to just dump every last bit of its opposition research on Donald Trump and see if he can get the media to look in that direction. And I don't know that that helps them take the focus off this. I mean, certainly, listen, the media wants to cover Trump and not Clinton. But at some point, all of that baggage is baked in. At some point, all of the women issues and things like that, unless they have some new line of attack, it's already baked in. Now, the Clinton spin this afternoon is interesting. The Clinton spin this afternoon is that she's already lost all of the voters who would go away because of the emails. But I don't think that's true. Because there were some people who were hanging on deciding, you know what? We still think she's better than him or more honest than him. But this is a woman who said she and her staff, they handed in all the emails. If they didn't actually hand in all the emails, how can people who've rationalized supporting her because she's more honest than the other guy continue to believe that? I don't think this is baked in. I find it curious that today the Clinton team is putting up ads in Wisconsin because Wisconsin's been written off for Hillary. In fact, that's been in my, I've been telling you she's at minimum 272 electoral college votes. That considers Wisconsin in her camp, and no one has thought otherwise. And now suddenly they're doing this. There's been a flurry of polls out today showing a few races have moved into her column. North Carolina appears to be solidly there. Nevada appears to be solidly there. But we're going to find out new polling on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. The Clinton campaign, they're freaking out this afternoon. The fact that they're getting reporters, demanding reporters, say this is not reopened. A buddy of mine, come on, people. They know I'm on the air. One of them just texted me. So is this what hard news is? Oh, the jokes write themselves. They do. Okay, let's get back into this point, though. The show is definitely not over. I still believe. Now, I know Rush was saying earlier that they're doing this because they think WikiLeaks is going to show this stuff up later, or they're trying to distract from something in WikiLeaks. That's plausible. I still think what it is they know it's going to come out from the Wiener investigation. They're pretty sure she's already got it in the bag. And they're willing to risk her momentum by going on now. Because if they waited until 5 days, 4 days, 3 days, 2 days before the election, or on election day itself, then everybody, nobody would be happy with the FBI. The left would be upset, and they are livid today. The right would be upset because it would just, I mean, it would look exactly like what it was, helping Hillary. So they do it 12 days before the election, 11 days before the election. And they think, early voting started, absentee ballots are in, she can withstand this. That's what they're thinking. But there are a lot of people who don't like Hillary Clinton. There are a lot of people who don't like Donald Trump. There are a lot of people, I'm one of them, won't vote for either of them, but there are a lot of people out there still undecided and thinking, I got to vote for one of them. And all the Trump stuff is now baked in. And this Hillary stuff is new. So undecided voters, it could push undecided voters away. But I've got the sneaking suspicion that just look, if you go on Twitter right now, you'll see a number of reporters parroting the lines I told you earlier from Hillary's comms team that this is not a reopen investigation. They don't even know that the emails are about Hillary. They've got to see. There are a number of reporters lecturing conservatives that you can't say these things because, and then they parrot the Clinton talking points. So you know and I know the Clinton campaign is lining up right now with these very same reporters. And they're going to dump everything they can on Trump and see if he can withstand it. The next 11 days are going to be brutal. I can't wait to cover them. This breaking news on Hillary Clinton is a whole nother reason I am opposed to early voting. How many votes? There are 7.7 million votes minimum that have already been cast. How many of those votes would have changed had they known about this? How many? I am adamantly opposed to early vote. I have always been opposed to early voting. And I think it is disingenuous of Republicans pushing early voting. And the reason Republicans push early voting is because they don't want to be accused of racism. Early voting is a terrible idea. We should have a national holiday on the Tuesday of the national election for president. And everybody go vote that day. And if you're infirm, disabled, or out of town, then get a printed absentee ballot that can be mailed to your house. But stop letting people show up for weeks on end before the election. Election day should be essentially a civic ceremony where everybody goes out and participates in democracy that day. Please don't call me. We're not in democracy. You know what I mean. I am totally against early voting. And this is just another. This is one of many examples. In some states, do you realize there has been early voting going on for a month now? A month. It's ridiculous. Now, if you're a soldier, sailor, marine in harm's way overseas, an airman, you send them a ballot. Send them a printed ballot. Let them do it online on election day if they can. But the rest of us, there is no reason people need to be voting for weeks on end. You say, well, the lines would be long on election day. We'll get more precincts. I mean, this is the republic we're talking about. Do what you can to preserve the republic. Make it a civic duty. Now, listen, I'm opposed. Don't get me wrong. I'm opposed to making voting mandatory. I think mandatory voting is a terrible idea. You have as much freedom to not vote as to vote, and sometimes not voting is as powerful a statement as voting. But making it so ridiculously easy to go vote that you are disconnected from the civic process of voting by you can show up willy-nilly anytime, and information can hit the week before the election that impacts the election. It's such a terrible idea. I am totally opposed to early voting. This news is another reason why.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
I had a good line for you guys last hour that this is the first time Hillary Clinton's been brought down by a wiener since she conceived Chelsea, but Charlie told me I wasn't allowed to say it on air. Pete was undecided, the pig farmer. So I can't tell you guys that line. I thought it would have been a creative line to say, but I'm not allowed to tell you guys that line. So we're going to move on now, I suppose. Although I gotta tell you, I have this lingering suspicion that by Monday or Tuesday-ish, everyone will be on the same page in the press and they'll be saying, oh, turns out these are no big deal. These were just Huma and Anthony talking about texting and nudity or whatever. And now here's the thing. Huma and Anthony can't get divorced now. They were going to get divorced. She was doing it for the children, at least the child. They can't get divorced now. Spousal privilege. I mean, if they get divorced, they're now separated right now. They could maybe be made to testify. As long as they're married, they can't be made to testify against each other. Spousal privilege, spousal immunity. You can't make a spouse testify against a spouse. Doesn't work that way. So they can't get divorced. She's stuck with him. Oh, poor Huma. Boo hoo hoo. All right. There is all sorts of y'all. Friends know that I'm on the radio right now. And the text messages that I'm getting right now of things people think that I should be telling you. I mean, the FCC would come after me. Just, I can't go there. And there is other news out there, believe it or not. There actually is other news out there. And so we can get back to this stuff, and we'll take your phone calls on this stuff. Oh, mercy. But there is some local news that you need to know about as well from the Marietta Daily Journal. Now, I don't know. Let's see. Who is this person? You're just going to have to bear with me here. Because I got the other person, and then it hit me that maybe I should. So Kevin Foley, he's at the Marietta. He's an opinion writer at the Marietta Daily Journal, something or other. There, yeah, he's a liberal at the Marietta Daily Journal. So he's going after the good news clubs. He's attacking the good news clubs. Now, for those of you who don't know what the good news clubs are, the good news clubs are after-school programs that teach kids good manners. It's essentially scouting without all the camping and stuff. You can go in, your parents work in the afternoons, and you want to be around good kids that aren't going to get you into trouble. They're not going to be out breaking windows and doing drugs and God knows what else. You put them in the Good News Program. And yes, it is churches support the Good News Program. It is latently religious. The leader may actually, he may talk about Jesus. He just might. But by and large, you're going to go play basketball together in the gym. You're going to have a snack together. You're going to talk about life together. You're not actually going to be reading the Bible. You're going to be around good kids, staying out of trouble together with a good role model as a leader. And it's a sinister experience, according to this Kevin Foley guy. By the way, one more thing on this Clinton email before I get into this Foley piece. You know, they're already out there saying that the emails are really no big deal. That the whom emails, no big deal. The Clinton email server, no big deal. If that's the case, why did John Podesta say whoever set up the server needed to be drawn and quartered? Whoever thought running a private server was a good idea needed to be drawn and quartered. Why did they freak out when Barack Obama denied knowing Hillary Clinton had a private email server? We know all the stuff from the WikiLeaks. Why did they do all that if it's no big deal? You can't say it's no big deal because they themselves thought it was. Okay, I want to read you the beginning of this. This is from the Marietta Daily Journal. I can't believe the people in Cobb County put up with this. Good News Club is a high-energy after-school club for children to come and learn about leadership, character, friendship, responsibility, making right choices, and so much more. That's from the Good News Club website. After it started meeting at her children's public elementary school in California, investigative journalist Catherine Stewart began looking into the Child Evangelical Fellowship's Good News Club. She discovered that CEF's real mission is to convert children to fundamentalist Christianity and encourage them to proselytize to their unchurched peers. And then she wrote a book about it. By the way, Catherine Stewart is an activist atheist who won an award from Americans United for the Separation of Church and State for her exposés on religion in America. She's on a crusade to drive the faithful out of the public square. She's a bigot against Christians. She doesn't like Christianity. And it's telling that this Kevin Foley guy called her an investigative journalist as opposed to an anti-Christian activist, which is what she actually is. So if, for those of you who don't know, the Good News Clubs, they're in schools. Cobb County has a number of them. They're affiliated with churches. They provide after-school programs for kids who used to be, they called them latchkey kids back in the day. And their parents are at work. They need someplace to go. So the churches have these safe spaces for them where they're not going to get in trouble. They're not going to be doing drugs. They're not going to be hooking up and drinking and doing God knows what that junior high school students are doing these days. And they're under attack by atheists because atheists don't like the fact that Christians are allowed to teach kids good manners and morality. So the, if you haven't heard, the Satan group, they want to start Satan clubs in Cobb County. Yes, I'm not making this up, y'all. This isn't just a random Halloween story. There is a group of, they call themselves thinkers, what have you, the atheists. They want to start satanic clubs in Cobb County to compete with the Good News clubs. And this Foley guy apparently thinks it's a good idea. That if they're called Satan clubs, at least people will know what they're up to, unlike these Good News clubs that are proselytizing to kids and they're actually missionaries. I mean, folks, this is not the United States of America. This is Georgia. This is Cobb County, Georgia, where an opinion columnist for the Marietta Daily Journal is blasting the fact that churches have gotten together to provide kids safe places to go in the afternoon while their parents are still working. And the evidence he uses is a book by an anti-Christian activist spun to portray this group in the worst possible light. Is it any wonder people hate the media? Is it any wonder people hate the press? You can't bring a good, decent group of people into a school to provide an outlet for kids in the afternoon so they're not in bad places without being attacked. And now having them champion a Satan club coming into schools, laughing. You know, Satan is not going to be mocked. You may be listening to this program thinking none of it's real, but it is. I assure you, it's real. There are angels and there are demons. There is a higher plane you cannot even fathom. You have to believe to understand. You can't understand to believe. You got to believe to understand. And those of you who don't believe, you're not going to understand. Even though I'm telling you it's true. You don't play around with this stuff. I know they think it's funny. They think it's cute. And they think that these Christian groups are the bad guys for teaching good manners and values to kids in public schools. That should tell you right there there's something wrong, that they're outraged by this Good News Club providing a safe place for kids to go in the afternoons and learn to be respectful and play well with others and have good manners and be honest. That they're attacking that tells you everything you need to know. And again, this isn't California, it's not Washington, it's not New York, it's not Vermont, it's Georgia that this is happening. That, I'm not Traffic Trooper Eric today. Sometimes I am, but that's someone stolen my name to be a traffic trooper. Welcome back. It's Eric Erickson here. News 95.5 AM 750 WSB. The phone number 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. Now, let's get back to the Clinton stuff for a minute because it all ties together in various ways. Dean Beckett. Well, let me back up. Andrew Rosenthal. Do you know the name Andrew Rosenthal? Here's your history lesson. In 1992, then President George Herbert Walker Bush went to a retail expo of the National Grocery Store Association or whatever it was. And they were demonstrating grocery store technology. And President Bush, the last President Bush's dad, who had been a World War II pilot, vice president for Ronald Reagan, the CIA director, ambassador to China, chairman of the Republican National Committee, you name it. He goes into this grocery store thing, and according to the news reports, he expressed shock at a grocery store scanner. Like the grocery store scanners that everyone used, where you swipe the barcode and it registers the price. As opposed to back in the 80s, everything had to, it's like when you go into Hobby Lobby now. The Hobby Lobby is like when you went to shop in the 80s, everything had a price sticker on it and someone had to manually punch it. It was slow. And the barcode sped it up. And this was a metaphor for George Bush being out of touch. He had been in Washington for so long. And this became the Clinton argument that George H.W. Bush was a nice guy, a hero and patriot, but he needed to go. He had been there so long, he didn't even know how people shopped at the grocery store. That story was written by Andrew Rosenthal of the New York Times. And it didn't happen. Andrew Rosenthal wasn't there. It turns out what George H.W. Bush was looking at was a type of grocery store scanner that we've only just gotten in the last 5 years or so, the ones that where you can actually put the fruits and vegetables on the scanner and it weighs them and identifies them. Those weren't available in the 1990s. They didn't come out until after the year 2005. That was early technology. And that's why he was amazed by it. Andrew Rosenthal was promoted. He wasn't fired. They never retracted it. He was promoted. Where he was promoted becomes the rest of the story when we come back. Welcome back. It is Eric Erickson here, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB. So if you're just tuning in here, let me reset this for you. In 1992, there was a story in the New York Times that then spread to other newspapers and into opinion columns across America that George H.W. Bush was out to lunch. He was out of touch. He had been in Washington for so long because he didn't recognize a standard grocery store checkout scanner that had been around by that time 5 or 6 years. Except that's not what George H.W. Bush was looking at. He was looking at a more advanced scanner system that only came on the market in the after George W. Bush was president in the early 2000s. It wasn't even out. It was a prototype, and he was impressed. But Andrew Rosenthal, the reporter who wrote this, wasn't in the room. He got the information from a wire report from a reporter of the Houston Chronicle. And the reporter of the Houston Chronicle, when approached about it, said, yeah, the president was impressed by what he had seen because it didn't exist on the market, but it wasn't overwhelmingly shocked or anything like Andrew Rosenthal had described in the piece. It wasn't an indication that he was out to lunch or out of touch or anything. The device didn't exist in the wild at the time. Andrew Rosenthal wrote that piece, and it was a lie. It was a flat-out lie. And so what did the New York Times do with him? They promoted him to editor of the opinion page, where he just left. The left-wing opinion page that is doing endorsement after endorsement, day after day, of every left-wing senator in America, trying to defeat Marco Rubio, you name it. They're after all of them. Well, Dean Baquet is the editor-in-chief of the newspaper overall, the news section. And Dean Baquet, the man who works at the newspaper that promoted Andrew Rosenthal, is upset and whining. CNN and Fox News, they cause entertainment. People are listening to them and not the New York Times. And if only they listened to the New York Times, they would know the truth. Y'all, Dean Baquet runs the media wing of the Democratic National Committee, and he's upset that they don't have a monopoly. And that's why I just think that within the next 72 hours, there's going to be a hit on Donald Trump, and his campaign needs to be gearing up and preparing for it. Because the New York Times, the Washington Post, they're going to be out to get him now to distract from this FBI story with Hillary Clinton. They are going to try whatever they can to distract from Hillary. And they will do it by looking at Trump. And whatever hit she can come up with, they can even make it up. They'll fact check it in 12 days, the day after the election. They'll run a correction saying, oh, it wasn't true, sorry. Like a bad call in an NFL game. The Trump campaign better be on their A game here these last 11 days, because I can tell you it's coming. That's what the Clintons do. Although I do have to say and reiterate, I do think it is a sign Anthony Weiner still being alive is probably proof positive the Clintons don't actually murder people who cause them problems. Unless he dies in the next couple of days, then it could be problematic. Now, by the way, Charles Cook from National Review just tweeted, it'd be hilarious if Weiner was sexting Hillary classified information. Okay. I want to move on from this. I'm assuming many of my listeners would know who Jen Hatmaker is. If you don't know who Jen Hatmaker is, she's an evangelical writer, or at least was an evangelical writer. Jen Hatmaker was very, very, my wife actually bought a number of her books. I've got a number of friends whose wives liked Jen Hatmaker. She and her husband, apparently they did some sort of TV show with HGTV. She was an acceptable Christian to popular media. Well, Jen Hatmaker has had her books removed from Lifeway bookstores. Lifeway being the largest Christian bookseller in the nation, affiliated with the Southern Baptist Convention. The reason they've removed her books is because while Jen Hatmaker has written a number of times about Christians need to be more loving and tolerant and open-minded towards people who struggle with same-sex attraction. She's now gone a step beyond it. She has now said that she believes that that homosexual relations can be holy and that gay marriage is fine and Christians need to suck it up and move into the 21st century. And so they're pulling her books. Now, of course, she's being portrayed as the victim for being so brave as to conform to the world, while Lifeway's being treated as the bad guy for standing up for an unpopular but right position. It's very interesting the way that these things sort of happen. I mean, she's now going to become, she's going to be the female Rob Bell, I guess. I was in a Bible study, and the motto was, it was the Dead Theologian Society, DTS. We only read dead people lest they turn out like Rob Bell if they're still alive. And this hat maker woman is the same way. She's decided she wants to be liked by the world. She and her husband on HGTV. She's built up her Christian street cred, and so now she can betray the faith. And I get emails about this all the time, that this particular issue, gay marriage and whatnot, and why Christians aren't conceding the point. And when I was writing about this last night, it led me to try to find the simplest way to explain this. So let me explain it to you this way, and why you're not going to see Christians, even Governor Deal can keep vetoing RFRA and whatnot, and why Christians aren't going to change on this. Christianity 101 is that God is unchanging. Now, he expresses himself over time in increasing revelation so we can understand him a little better. We're never going to completely understand him, but he doesn't change. Things that are revealed to us in the New Testament don't contradict the Old Testament. They have to be reconciled together in various ways. They can't contradict each other. One of the things that God set up was marriage in the Garden of Eden. He made men and he made women and he put them together, one man and one woman, and Christ himself affirmed it in the New Testament in a discussion about divorce. He recognized marriages between one man and one woman. So, if today someone like Jen Hatmaker can say that, well, I can find homosexual marriages holy or homosexual relationships holy, well, then that means God's changed, because that wasn't the case in the Bible. The Bible was very clear about this. And if God can change, well, then he's not God, because Christianity 101 is that God's not changing. So that just means she's created her own God. And she's putting up her own God, her idol, as if that's the real God. I saw a quote last night that liberal Christians make the mistake of looking in the mirror and thinking they see Jesus. The reason I'm talking about this at the end, after seeing the Good News Clubs being beat up, because, and by the way, a parent did text me and say that in the Good News Club her kid's in, they do actually read scripture. Some of them apparently don't, because another parent confirmed what I said. Nonetheless, some of them do. But all these Christian groups are under attack now, and the left is trying to make victims the people who are betraying the faith, not the people who are standing for the faith. The people who stand for the faith are the bad guys, always. And they still need to stand for the faith. Welcome back. Y'all, Dan Gaynor at the Media Research Center sent me a disturbing story earlier today. Vogue apparently has Teen Vogue, a magazine for girls. And one of their advice columnists is Ask a Witch, teaching girls how to cast spells, use charms, whatnot. That's rather disturbing. They would never have Ask a Preacher, would they? Unless it was a left-wing preacher who's okay with witches. I tell you, society beginning to dabble in the occult leads to bad things, and the fact that they laugh it off and really don't think it's real, how many kids are they leading astray? And they don't care. As long as they're not going to church, they're okay. Is it any wonder we're in the mess we're in today with these two yokels running for president?
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.